This is Jack Bauer, and you're listening to the Who's Your Daddy Godcast.
2018, the year of suddenly, immediately, and Holy Ghost fire.
This is the award-winning podcast from a History with God Ministries Godcast Network featuring Frank and Christina Sasso. Visit us online at ahistorywithgod.org for articles, links, prophetic words, prayer requests, and other awesome resources. Now, without any further ado, let's welcome the host of this broadcast, Christina Sasso.
Hello, Podcastia. How are you today? This is Christina Sasso, bringing you the Godcast this week. I felt that I needed to do a podcast, but I didn't know exactly what topic I wanted to cover. So I've been going back and forth with a few different things and a few different ideas, and what I decided was I needed to just start recording. So just bear with me, and we'll see where the Holy Spirit takes us today. I want to welcome all of our listeners, all the new listeners, all our listeners who've been with us for a number of podcasts and who've been with us from the beginning. We really appreciate you. We pray for you. And we love to hear your testimonies. We love getting your emails. Thank you so much for your feedback. So I'm just going to dive right in. I feel like I am going to start in Ephesians today. And I just want to talk about grace. I want to talk about how much God loves us. It's overwhelmingly good news, and I believe that the world needs good news. It needs it today, it needs it every day. So we'll start with that, and I just want to start reading from Ephesians 1, and we'll see where we go with it. Okay. So in Ephesians 1, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to God's holy people in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So grace and peace. So those are two things that I am personally thinking about a lot, praying about, meditating, specifically peace and rest, because I believe when we are in that place of peace and rest, that's where we see the manifestations of the glory. And for many years, as I went through this journey, both Frank and I, we've listened to so many different preachers and teachers, and all of them have something wonderful to tell us and teach us. And I've learned so much from Andrew Womack, and I think he was one of the first best teachers that I've ever listened to. And I always recommend him for new believers or people who are new on the grace journey. Kenneth Copeland, Creflo Dahl, also wonderful preachers and teachers. But lately I've been actually listening to a lot of Joseph Prince. And the reason is, for me, I know there are people who are looking for breakthroughs in their finances, breakthroughs in health issues, relationships, answers for their kids, and so on. All of these different issues. And I've been in each of those places different times, and I'm not saying I have it all right and we figured it all out. But a lot of times I would hear a message and think, oh, that's what I'm missing. I'm missing, you know, doing, you know, XYZ. Oh no, I know, I'm missing doing this, or I should be praying like this, or I should be, you know, doing this. And in my head, to me, the way I think is I'm kind of analytical, so I feel like I have to do things step by step. I can't skip ahead to the end of the story, so I have to make sure that I'm doing all the right steps in the correct order in order to get the right answer or solution. And what I've actually come to believe is that it isn't about formula. It isn't about, you know, how I'm praying or when I'm praying or, you know, specific words I'm using. But it is really about the relationship and spending time in the presence of the Father, in the presence of the Lord Jesus, and accessing the Holy Spirit that lives inside of you to be at peace. And I really think another word for peace is trust. So when you're in a peaceful place, if you can think of your natural peace, the peace that you can kind of understand with your mind, when you're at peace, you're trusting that everything is going well. You're trusting what you see. You know, your bills are paid, or you've gotten a good report from the doctor. So all these things are visible things. You're trusting them because you can see them. They seem tangible. So that's where you're getting your peace from. But I think that we have to step beyond that into the peace that is beyond understanding, that we can't understand with our natural minds, that we have to understand with our spiritual mind. And I think that comes from a total trust in God, in the finished work of Jesus. The only problem with that, and it's not God's problem, it's our problem, is that a lot of us have a bad representation of who God is. So there's a big problem in trusting a God that you think might be a maniac, that he might just on a whim decide to take one of your children into heaven because he needed another angel, which is wrong on so many levels, but I've actually heard that preached a number of times from different pastors. So that could be one reason, or maybe you were just brought up in a household where, you know, your parents might have said, oh, if you do that, God's going to punish you. So God is represented to you as this mean, very angry God, and if you slip up, he's right there waiting to just get you and put you in your place, or, you know, give you some kind of disease to punish you for your, you know, perceived sin or whatever. So it's very hard to trust somebody that you don't know. How can you trust someone you don't know? It's like when you get married, or when you start a relationship with someone that you maybe think, oh, this might go somewhere. I might actually, you know, want to spend the rest of my life with this person. Especially as a woman, do you feel safe with someone that you can't trust? I don't, because you're always thinking, when's the rug going to be pulled out from under me? When is the next shoe going to drop? And I'm going to find out something that I didn't know. And now my world is turned upside down. And now I'm not on steady ground. I'm not standing on a rock anymore. Now I'm on quicksand, and I'm living in anxiety and fear. So living in anxiety and fear is the total opposite of peace. All right, whether it's natural or spiritual, it's just the two don't live well together. They don't live together at all. So fear is the opposite of faith and peace and trust. So we have to get to a point where we can trust God and trust that he's good, that he's really for you. He's not out to get you. He doesn't put sickness on people because he doesn't have sickness to give you. Remember the prayer, on earth as it is in heaven. Okay, let it be on earth as it is in heaven. Let it be in my life as it is in heaven. So let me ask you, is there cancer in heaven? Is there infection in heaven? Are there broken bones in heaven? Is there poverty in heaven? No. God doesn't have any of those bad things to give you. We have an enemy, and the enemy is the devil, and he's the one who hates you. He's the one who wants to see you punished. He's the one who wants to go to the Father with all your wrongdoings and go to you and tell you all about the things that you did wrong yesterday and today and what you're going to do tomorrow. He's the accuser. But the good news is you have an advocate, you have a lawyer who is actually better than a lawyer because he's actually assumed your guilt. He's paid the price for all your past, present, and future sins. So sin is no longer an issue. God does not look at you through the eyes of sin. He's not looking at you making a mess or making a mistake. He's looking at you through the paid price, the finished work of Jesus. So he loved you way before the foundations of the earth, way before you committed your life to him, way before you were forgiven, way before Jesus came and died on the cross. God loved you. And the reason why Jesus went to the cross and suffered everything he suffered was because God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit agreed to this plan, because God loves you that much. It's something that we have as humans a really hard time imagining, that magnitude of love, with our natural minds. I think that's why God says we have to worship him in spirit and truth, because it's beyond our natural comprehension to imagine that capacity to love somebody. I kind of got off a little bit. I haven't even got into Ephesians that much. But all right, so grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll continue on with verse number 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Let me stop there. Because so many people say, see, God blesses you with spiritual blessings, not with wealth or health or goodness or any of that. No, it's spiritual blessings in the heavenly realms. That sounds really very, very, what's the word? Religious and fakely lovely. But what does that mean? What does that mean? Oh, well, God blesses you in the spiritual realm. Okay, so how am I blessed in the spiritual realm? Oh, well, what's a spiritual blessing? Well, I have news for you that anything that is tangible in your home, like if you're sitting in a chair right now, that chair was once a spiritual thing. It was in someone's imagination. And then once it was in their imagination, they wrote it on a piece of paper and made a plan for building that chair. And now that chair has been appropriated from the spirit into reality as we perceive it, which is our five senses. Okay. So first of all, reality, what is reality? Is reality only what you can see, taste, touch, smell, and hear? Or do we walk by faith and not by our five senses? So there is a spiritual realm that is more real than the natural. And Joseph Prince actually put it in this way. He said, you know, anything that's in the natural realm that you can touch or taste is already now starting towards its death. Anything that's in the spiritual realm is still living, it's still alive, it's still new, it's still fresh. So I'll take a spiritual blessing anytime, because those are new every day. The manna that fell from heaven was only good for one day. Once it was on the earth, once it was tangible, it started to decay, it got worms in it. Okay, so if you're looking for only the real, quote unquote, real evidence or real, I can only taste and touch it. First, you have to see it in the spirit, where it's alive, where it's living. So spiritual blessings, I got news for you, are what bring in the real blessing. So let me ask you, is wisdom a spiritual blessing? Because you can't really touch wisdom. But really, wisdom is a tangible thing, is it not? Because we use wisdom. We can use wisdom to get wealth. We can use wisdom to solve problems. We can use godly wisdom to find solutions to problems in the natural. All right, there's a spiritual blessing. For what purpose? What do you use wisdom for? To just sit in a chair and look up to heaven and go, oh, wow, I have wisdom. Solomon had wisdom, right? He was supposed to be the wisest man. He used that wisdom. And let me think, was Solomon blessed with spiritual blessings? I'm sure he was. And was he also very wealthy? Yeah. Was he blessed on earth? As we perceive blessing as success and wealth and good things? Yes. And that's Old Testament. How much more now in the New Covenant? So that line there, that verse, who has blessed us in the heavenly realm, right? Because on earth as it is in heaven. So the blessing starts in heaven. It certainly doesn't start here on earth. We don't produce the blessing. God produces the blessing. We appropriate it because of our sonship and our relationship. And that spiritual blessing then becomes something tangible in our lives, like health and healing and wealth and relationships. If I continue on to verse 4, and it's attached to verse 3. So let me go from verse 3 and continue through. So verse 3, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. So he chose us to be holy and blameless in his sight. Okay, so this is the New Testament. We are holy and blameless in his sight. Not that we have to try and get holy. We have to try and be blameless. We couldn't do it. We couldn't. That's why Jesus had to come. So he finished it once and for all. Jesus's finish line is our starting point. That is great news. We don't have to try to get to holiness and blamelessness and righteousness. When Jesus said it was finished, that's where we started. We started holy, blameless, and righteous. So many Christians are trying so hard. God bless their hearts that they want to be righteous. They want to be holy. They want to do the right thing. But they're starting at a line that the race has already been won. Like they're back at the starting line of a race that's already over. So they're running this race that has been won by the finished work of Jesus Christ. So yes, we have a starting line for another race, the race in Christ. So that means we start already victorious because Jesus already finished. He said it is finished. That means all those sins, he took all those sins, all the blame, all the unrighteousness on his shoulders, all the sickness, all the poverty. He took it all so that we could start from a place of victory. So we have to now realize that we've already won. We've already begun our race. We kind of like stack the deck because we've already won. We're already holy in God's eyes. There's nothing that you have to do. There's no work that you have to do or perform to make God see you and then say, oh, okay, he finally made it. Now I can bless him. No. Jesus did it. So God's like, he's pouring out blessings because you're already righteous in his eyes. You're righteous through the righteousness of Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, and we get the benefit of that. None of the curses and all of the blessings. So that verse 4, for he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves, Jesus, the one he loves. He loves Jesus so much, yes, yet he was willing to sacrifice him for us because he wanted us adopted to sonship through Jesus for his pleasure and his will. So you say, oh, God willing, this is God's will here. This is his will, that you're blessed, that you're blameless in his sight, that you're adopted, that you have grace, which is freely given. And continuing on, verse 7, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. He made known to us the mystery of his will. There it is. He made it known to us. The mystery of his will is now not a mystery anymore. Oh, God works in mysterious ways. Yeah, there are things that we can't understand with our natural minds sometimes. But God gives us all wisdom through the power of the Holy Spirit. Our natural minds cannot perceive certain things. There are certain things that we have no answers for. But good news, we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us, and he has all wisdom. So that means we get to share that wisdom. So God is no longer a mystery. He's not something that, oh, well, we don't understand. No, he's telling us, I want you to understand. I want you to understand that I love you and it's good. Trust me. I'm for you. So he made known to us the wisdom of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the time reaches the fulfillment to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. Unity to heaven and earth under Christ. On earth as it is in heaven. This is just a tiny ice cube in the iceberg of what we have to learn. But I'm trying to get personally into a place where I'm always in a place of rest, because I really want the manifested glory. I want to raise people from the dead. I want to heal the sick. I want to have abundant wealth, so that not only is every need met, but my heart's desires are met, that I can bless others in need, that if there's a need, that people don't go to Hollywood and celebrities to have some kind of concert, that they'll go to Christians because we have the means to financially take care of issues and problems that the world has. And again, to God be the glory. So this is just the tip of the iceberg. But to get to that place of rest where these things are manifested, we have to trust God. We have to know that he is always for us and he loves us. He loves us so beyond our understanding. So this is my little personal journey, is to try and get to that place of rest. And God says, struggle, you're going to struggle to maintain your rest, because everything in the world is going to come against that. Everything that you see on the news, the enemy whispering in your ear, your relatives, sometimes even your church will come against you resting in the finished work of Jesus Christ and the love that Father God has for you. Your Father God has for you. That's the relationship. That's why Jesus came also, to show us God's character. God is not fire and brimstone. God is your Father. And he wants to wrap you in his arms and protect you and give you the things that you love, things that are good for you, health. He wants your life to be successful and blessed. So on that note, I will stop and let you think about that and pursue your own revelation. That's my encouragement. Please, please, please read the word for yourself with the Holy Spirit's wisdom and guidance, and get your own revelations and write them down and refer back to them, and just marvel at how much God loves you and wants to communicate with you. So here at the Who's Your Daddy Godcast, I want to say that we love you, God loves you, and Jesus is Lord. Stay blessed.
Thank you for listening to today's broadcast from A History with God Ministries. This teaching is a powerful ministry tool that you can use to experience the power of God in your life. Thank you again for listening and for helping us reach the world with the love of Jesus. A History with God Ministries. Seeing, hearing, remembering. Until next time, remember, we love you, God loves you, and Jesus is Lord. Stay blessed.